Why was he so eager to get away? The Malach was so eager to get away. Page 103, Pasuk of Zion. Yaakov had him in a full Nelson, and why was he so eager to escape? By Yomer, on 103, Pasuk of Zion. By Yomer Shalcheini, let me go, ki Allah HaShachar. Because the morning star is risen, I will not let you go, kim rachtoni, unless you what bless me. So why was so eager? So look at Rashi, Rashi Chav Zayin. Ku'olav shachar, the dawn has risen. So what?
Yeah, yeah.
Shira bayom, and I have to say shira. Today is my turn to say shira, otherwise I'll lose my wings. You had to clip my wings?
Mm-hmm.
Say Shira Bayom. So why couldn't he take a rain check and say Shira another day? Why this today? Mm. What's so? Who's Brent Azoy? How do you say Brent? Yiddish? Who's Brent?
What is burning?
Please close the door when you leave. Thank you. What was so important? He had to say Shira today? Take a rain check and say Shira tomorrow. What's the message? What's the message, Rabbi Yaakov?
There is order in heavenly singing.
It's his turn.
Yes.
Why is Daki his turn? What does the word Shira mean?
Singing.
Well, it means much more than that. At the Red Sea, the Jews sang. Shira mean when a human being realizes when he sees the truth so clearly, when he sees mission accomplished. All the 210 years of suffering in Mitzrayim. Why? At the Red Sea, the Jews realized that all the suffering was a necessary prelude to Kriyas Yamsu. Chana Neviyah. When she gave birth to Shmuel, she sang Shira. All her years of torment and barrenness. Why? When the birth of Shmuel, she realized that her tafkid was to go through that suffering in order to give birth to a Shmuel HaNavi. When a person realizes that his mission has been fulfilled, that's when he sings Shira. That's a given. Shira is when you realize that your tafkid, your mission, your goal has been accomplished.
But he didn't finish his, this angel didn't finish his goal yet.
Don't jump ahead of me. This angel was the Yetzer Hara, right? What's the tafkid of the Yetzer Hara? We shall overcome. We make a mistake. The Yetzer Hara is not a bear. He's out to help us. He is only there. No pain, no gain. The Gemara Avodah the Zohar says, when Mashiach comes and the Yetzer Hara will be removed, it says, Tzadikim are going to cry.
Yeah.
Say what?
Yeah.
Why will the Tzadikim cry? Says the Marsha. Because no challenge, no pain, no gain. You can't attain greatness without the struggle. That constant struggle with the Yetzer Hara. Remember the Pepsi commercial, David? No pain, no gain?
Yeah.
If you don't work out and sweat, you become flabby. Your muscles become flabby. If that's true in the physical world, how much is it more true in the spiritual world? So the tafkid of the Yetzer Hara is to make us great by overcoming and withholding. Eze Gibor, the Mishnah says, who's called a hero? Hakovesh es Yitzro. So when a human being is able to defeat his Yetzer Hara, that's when the Yetzer Hara sings. Didn't we say Shira is when a being has fulfilled his tafkid?
Mm-hmm.
What's the tafkid of the Yetzer Hara?
To conquer the
That we should defeat him.
Mm-hmm.
So when Yaakov was able to defeat his Yetzer Hara overpowering the angel,
the tafkid at the end is the Yetzer Hara's purpose.
Is to what?
His purpose is
what?
Is to mess us up.
No, you see, that's not right.
His purpose is
his
not
purpose
to make
is
us
to tempt us, and we should shall overcome.
All tests show your weakness.
So every time that we have an urge, and who doesn't, and we overcome that urge, we should know that I ate Zahara singing. Boy, I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yetzer Hara is a robot programmed by God to make us great. Without the struggle of the Yetzer Hara, we would be nowhere. Nowhere, man. Please listen.
So, but why then? That is correct.
You ever play that song on your radio station? Nowhere, man. Without the Yetzirah, we're nowhere. Without the Yetzirah, you don't believe me, right? The pasuk in Bereishis Aleph. Bereishis Aleph. Without the Yetzirah, we're nowhere. Listen to this. It says in Genesis 1, God saw all that He made. V'hine tov ma'od. Tov ma'od. Says the Gemara, what's tov ma'od? What's very good? The Yetzer Hara.
Oh.
The Yetzer Hara is tov, not tov, tov ma'od. David, say what? Because without the Yetzer Hara, a person cannot grow. He's stuck in neutral.
Yeah, Charles of Eden,
he's spinning his wheel. So the tov ma'od is the Yetzer Hara.
It's also written you have to serve God with your good and with your bad.
Exactly. So therefore, when Yaakov was able to defeat his Yetzirah, the Yetzirah's turn to sing Shira.
Yeah.
Powerful message, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. But why then it's time bound that before the dough? The,
what?
Why is it time?
What's
connected?
Time bound? What?
He is in a stress to go before the sun is going.
Because
down.
His mission has come. Nothing to do with the sun. He's not a sun worshipper. I'm giving you the inside story here.
It was his day.
Why is it his day? Why not Wednesday? Take a rain check. Because he has fulfilled his mission. His mission is that the human being should overcome him. And Yaakov was overcoming his angel. Yaakov was wrestling with his own demons. Yeah. And he's able to overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
Rashbam said he was going to flee, run away, and abandon his family. And he didn't. So the Yetzirah says, now I have to sing Shira. I have fulfilled my tafkid. Beam me up.
Okay, but wait.
Beam me up.
But why are there other interpretations of this whole story that this was only some type of metaphysical dream that he was having?
That's the Rambam's opinion. The dream, that's the struggle of the Yetzirah. We always fighting with the Yetzirah.
So
it all meets together.
So why is the Yetzirah telling him that he has to sing Shira in a dream?
Yetzirah's not telling him to sing Shira. You're not listening to me. The Yetzirah is saying, the message is that when we overcome our Yetzirah, that's when the Yetzirah has fulfilled his mission. His mission, to sing Shira means when you have accomplished your mission. When you have accomplished your mission, that's when you sing Shira.
I'm still confused because I think it's our mission to overcome our Yetzirah.
That's right.
But
that's our mission. His mission is...
His mission is not...
To tempt us, and we should defeat him. And we should defeat him.
And wait
that's
a second.
That's his mission.
His mission is... His goal is that we shouldn't defeat him. His goal is that he should defeat us.
No, that's not enough.
I'm sorry.
You came today.
What do you mean it's a good thing that I came? Everybody knows that the Yetzirah is out there trying to mess up people's lives. He's not out there to help us.
Right. He's helping us.
Wait a second. Doesn't that make any sense?
No, he's showing your weaknesses.
Without the Yetzirah, we cannot grow. Only when the going gets tough. All right, the tough get going right there. The going gets tough, the tough get going.
So
that's a mistake. We think the HR is out to trip us up.
Yes.
The HR is out to make us great.
He's like a coach.
Don't you remember the movie Gentleman's Agreement? No. Officer and a gentleman. You know how they make them the Marines? How the sergeant makes them work and sweat?
Mm-hmm.
And first they curse the sergeant, and then they love him.
If you watch this in football practice, you think the coach hated us.
Yeah, Vince Lombardi. You think Vince Lombardi, maybe one of those guys work like dogs. Mm-hmm.
We thought he hated us.
Why did they love him?
Because they realize why you love him in the end.
I remember my drill sergeant in the army.
Yeah, he made something of people, yeah.
He brought out...
So what was the test for Yaakov?
That's right.
Huh?
He brought out the potential that you didn't know you had.
By squeezing you.
Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, the coaches
what
I love
what was the test
now?
For Yaakov?
With the coaches?
Struggle?
He was going to run away, Rashbam said. Abandon his family and run.
Why?
Because he's afraid of Esav. He's going to just...
I thought these guys are...
Take off. Run away, leave his family. But he overcame his Yetzirah and he stayed. So he defeated his Yetzirah. The Yetzirah was to run, skedaddle, take off, abandon his family. Rashbam says that, not me. But he overcame that struggle. The Yetzirah says, I'm proud of you. I have to sing Shira now. A whole new understanding of what the tafkid of the Yetzirah is.
Right.
We don't look at it that way.
That indicates that he went back
Because he
went back to escape.
To escape.
That's what Rashbam said.
Ah.
He took his family across and he went himself
away.
To escape.
Escape what?
Escape
what?
Alcatraz. Escape from Esau. But he overcame that fear. That's the struggle he overcame.
You know what? We as Americans have been brainwashed. The Satan is powerful. He's fighting God.
That's classic idolatry.
And that
classic idolatry.
He's out to destroy us.
That's classic idolatry.
53 years old, and that's where my brain is.
You see, it's no good thing you came today.
America.
You see, it's a good thing you came today.
You've been brainwashed. Me too.
It's so hard to get that off my shoulders now because it's it's in my brain.
It's even in everything in the movies. This, that.
What's that?
The good and evil are fighting. And,
I'm sorry.
Me too. That's why we're all here. That's why we're all here.
That's the Tov Ma'od. Wow.
What was the point? The Yetzer Hara is doing us good, bringing out potential.
Without the Yetzer, you can never fulfill your potential.
You can never fulfill your potential.
That's good deal.
Yeah.
You should say thank you. Thank you for doing a good job.
Done a real good job with me.
Now I want to review Rosh Hashiva's beautiful speech yesterday.
Oh, really?
If you didn't hear it, he mentioned something amazing. He says that about the concept of prayer, tefillah. The concept of tefillah, prayer. He's talking about that. David says, "Anisha Filosi, I am prayer."
Yeah.
The tafkid of a human being is to pray to Hashem. Anisha Filosi. Where do we see that? It goes back to Genesis, all the way back to Bereishis. If you take a look back to Bereishis, write this down. Thank you. You go back to Bereishis, and I asked him a good takashi, my humble opinion, and he gave me a very good answer. But so I want to review with you. Baruch Hashem, he's coming along. He needs a big refuah.
There was a question from the Australian man, but he didn't answer him to yesterday. I remember his question.
He's going to review it today, he said. He's going to review it today.
Do you remember his question?
Exactly.
No.
He's going to review it today. Bikachna.
Should we put this guy over here?
Hello. What an incredible Rashi, Joe Siegel. Joe Siegel, make my day.
Hey, welcome back,
The Rosh Hashiva says in 10 minutes what you can speak, 2 hours. Yeah. You just, Rosh Hashiva says in 10 minutes you can elaborate. Look, turn to page 6. Turn to page 6, guys.
Okay, is that good enough? Let's go to 6.
Here. Oh, you got it?
Here.
Page 6. Actually, page 5. Page 5. Rashi 6. Page 5. Pasuk Hey. Page 5. Pasuk Hey. Page 5. Pasuk Hey.
Good to see you, man. Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Welcome home, man.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Well, Baruch Hashem, tell that about. Page 6. Page 5.
Oh, got more chumash?
Page 6.
Thank you.
That's enough.
Page 5, Pasuk Hey. Page 5, Pasuk Hey. The last verse in the page. V'chol siach hasadeh. and all the growth of the field, the plant, terem yebaretz, before it was on the earth, b'chol esef asodeh, and all the grass of the field, terem yitzmach, before it sprouted, ki lo himtir Hashem elokim al aretz, God did not yet make it rain. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. The Adam Ayin Lavas Adam, and there was no human being yet to work the land. What does this verse mean?
It was before human creation.
Yeah.
It looks like that's
It wasn't a rain. All the growth, all the vegetation, Joe Siegel, where was it? God did not make it rain. So what does it not make it rain got to do with there ain't no human being yet to work the land? What does it got to do with God didn't make it rain? Joe, that's what's bothering Rashi. That's what's bothering Rashi.
Yeah, go to plants to serve Hashem to give food.
So look at Rashi ki loy himtir. You see Rashi? Rashi on page 6. Rashi is on page 6. Four lines from the top, Rabbi Yaakov. Ki loy himtir.
Yeah.
Ki lo. What has that got to do with before there was vegetation, before there was plants? What has it got to do with there was no rain because there was no human being? What is it, no rain, got to do with no human being to work the land? So look at Rashi says, Ki loy himtir. You with me?
Yep.
I think it's 1 to 5 lines on the top, Ki loy himtir. Rashi, page 6, Ki loy himtir. What does it say there? Uma tam loy himtir, Avram. You with me or again me?
Yeah.
I'm reviewing the Rosh Hashiva Shir. Uma tam loy himtir. Why was there no rain? Lefisha Adam Ayin Labo des Adama. Because there was no human being. There was no human being what?
To work the land.
To work the land. So what? So how come there's no rain? Just because there's no human being to work the land, so how come there's no rain?
We brought the blessing when we came.
V'ain makiv tavoshen shav, what about the tiger and the lion, chop liver? V'ain, there was no rain because there's no human being yet, Joe. V'ain makiv tavoshen shav gishamim. And there was no one to acknowledge, to recognize the goodness of rain. U'kishaba Adam, when Adam made the scene, are people looking at you in Hebrew? V'yod Hashem tzorech l'olam, and a human being knew that the world needs rain. Huspaleh hit palel, Adam Arishon prayed. Hit palel aleihem, Adam Arishon prayed for what?
For rain.
Rain. V'yardu, the rain came down. V'tzamchu yilonot b'adashoyim, and only then did the trees and the grass and the vegetation what?
Sprout.
Yeah. What an incredible rush.
Yeah. From where is this Rashi from?
Here is Rashi, Medrash.
Medrash.
Everything was created for us.
Right.
It was ready to sprout, but they needed the prayer.
So Rashi is saying that Adam Arishon prayed. And if he wouldn't have prayed, Joe Siegel, no rain. No rain, no vegetation, no trees. What about the animals? Like Leo said, they're only props. They're only props, Joe. You know, props are props. So I asked the Rosh Hashiva Akasha.
Oh.
If that's the case, Adam prayed. The Rambam said that the Noahide code was received by whom? By Adam.
Oh.
Why isn't that called the Adamite code? Because Adam was a washout. Rabbi Yaakov Golden, the Rambam said that the Noahide religion was given to whom?
To Adam.
No. So David Hockman's not called the Adamite religion? So because Adam was a washout, get it? So therefore we called it the Noahide religion because he was a new Adam. So I asked, I asked the question as follows. So how come it's not part of the Noahide religion? There should be 8 Noahide laws.
Yep.
You hear? If Adam prayed, and God gave the Noahide religion to Adam, how come Tvila is not one of what?
one of the seven
Noahide laws. That's what I asked. Should the eight Noahide laws?
What was the last thing that you said, Rabbi?
I said, how many Noahide laws are there?
Seven.
Who got the Noahide laws?
Adam.
Right. Am I closing the door? So I asked, how come there's not?
Adam got six.
Okay, six. Okay. He got six. Okay. That's six out of seven, pretty good. So how come God didn't give him tefillah? So why'd you say eight Noahide laws?
That's just taken for granted.
So the Rebbe answered that tefillah comes before a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Tefillah is common sense. It's part of Derech Eretz. A person that's alive and sees such a wonderful, beautiful world, how could he not pray? That can't be a mitzvah. That's before the mitzvah.
Even
like Derech, he has this wonderful heart. Joe paid to come today? I asked, I thought of Bamba Kachi.
That is common sense.
He, Adam, prayed, so how come God didn't command him? You don't have to command that. That's common sense. How many Shulchan Aruch sections are there, David? Four.
Yeah.
What's the most important one? The fifth one, what's that?
Common sense. It comes before the mitzvah.
Derech Eretz Kodmah LaTorah. David says, "Vaniti, a human being that's alive and aware of all the goodness that it has in the world, how can he not thank Hashem? That can't be a commandment. That has to come before a commandment. You hear? Is it gewaltig? In the concept of Derech Eretz Kodmah LaTorah. Pay to come today, John? Adam prayed. I wasn't commanded to pray. Like eating flesh from a living animal, that was commanded to. Set up courts of law. No, the Rebbe said that tefillah is part of common sense. It precedes a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Gratitude to Hashem, any person that's alive and not unconscious, has an obligation to pray. It's just Derech Eretz and Derech Eretz Kodmah LaTorah. Therefore, it's not one of the... one of the what? I like this chiddush. Alright? Derech Eretz Kodmah LaTorah.
Is one human being worth all the animals, more than all the animals in the world?
Well, of course. Derech Eretz Kodmah.
So, let me ask
Kodmah.
You a question then.
Yeah, go ahead. Derech Eretz Kodmah.
Okay, in Florida, they made it against the law to kill crocodile, alligators.
Yeah. Kilo.
So there's abundance of them everywhere now.
Okay.
So two or three human beings get killed every year by these. They're just jogging along.
Yeah.
Some alligator comes out of canal and grabs them.
And grabs them, yeah.
They used to not have that problem because they killed them all off.
Right.
In the Everglades. It seems like common sense to me.
To get rid of them. Okay, but who says there's
correct.
A common sense in America? That common sense, they wouldn't elect the abomination. Would they, Joe? Would they elect the abomination? Bad common sense?
They're saying that the alligators are worth and more than a few people.
Well,
there's certain that we'll let them eat before we get it.
Why?
Yeah.
Lehit palel is hifil, like lehit yavesh, lehit rachetz.
Lehit palel.
Right? It's something.
Hit palel.
You don't pray, it looks like it goes to Hashem, but it's something comes to me.
Look at footnote kaf. Page 6, Avram, footnote. Ratzon Eloina, what does Rashi mean to say?
Yeah.
The Vada HaKadosh Baruch Hu mit'aveh telosan shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires the prayer of the tzadikim. V'yedeya, and God knows, she'odam makiv telosan shel gishamim. Only human being can acknowledge, recognize the goodness of rain. V'yispale aleihem. Tony the Tiger can't do that, Joe. Remember Tony the Tiger? Tony the Tiger can't do that. So,
Mr. Ed
can't do it. He's found only the human being. So I thought I asked a good tekashe. If Adam prayed, why was it not part of the Noahide religion? So the Rebbe said, no, that comes before. As Derech Eretz Kodmah LaTorah. He's going to talk, I think, more about that today.
But what's the difference between Himtir and Geshem?
A Matar and Geshem. That's a good question. You ask Ulpan teacher. How do you say rain in Hebrew?
Geshem.
What about Matar?
Yeah, it's also in the Shmone.
Matar means rain.
Yeah.
And Geshem means rain. We know in Hebrew there ain't no synonyms. Avram, how do you say rain in Hebrew?
Geshem.
What about Matar?
Matar, yeah.
the Hebrew, there are no, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal said that there are no real synonyms in Hebrew. So what's the difference? Should I tell you the difference?
Yeah.
Rain descends from the clouds, then hits the earth, right?
Yeah.
When the rain is still in the clouds and it's descending, while it still didn't hit the earth, it's called matar. Once it hits the ground, it's called geshem.
Well, why do you say you're red geshem?
Huh?
Why do you say you're red geshem?
You're red geshem.
Yeah, yeah.
You say you're red matar.
Well, but the expression is you're red geshem.
Right. Let me explain to you. When it's still in the heavens,
yeah,
it's coming down. It hasn't reached the earth yet. It's called matar. Once it hits the ground, it's called geshem. Geshem for the same root as the word gashmiut. What's gashmiut mean?
Physical.
Physical world, right? When the rain hits the physical earth, then it's no longer called matar, it's called geshem. From the word gashmiut. Okay? Rav Soloveitchik, not my word. You hear the greatness of the man? When it's still in heaven, as it comes into matar. Once it hits the ground, it's now geshem because it's part of gashmiut. When it's still in the heaven, it's still not geshem yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's only geshem when it hits the physical earth.
Well, how come I never hear people say?
It's a good thing you came today. You see?
Well, they, I don't know. Yeah, they say you're ready geshem. They walk up, tell you, you're ready geshem.
Yeah.
Huh?
I guess it's already hit the ground before they realize it can.
Oh, what?
How can you see it before it hits?
Mm-hmm. You could see it as it comes down. No?
No, but you haven't seen the first one.
You've seen it as it comes down.
Maybe the first one you call that. But once it's already hit the ground, now it's geshem.
Yeah.
Then, even Eretz Yisrael is all connected with praying for rain. And it's also interesting, I read somewhere the tal, the dough,
no
is never withhold. All the time Hashem gives something.
English is the same word.
You see the same word. Look at page 570, Pasuk Yud Dalet. That's the Shema, Ephraim. Page 570, Yud Dalet. You with me or again me on this? Part of the Shema. What is Hashem saying here? You Dalit? Think first to the wide lines of them. You see that?
Yeah.
What does it say?
Matati mitar arts ben.
Comma. It could have said Matati geshem, no?
Right.
But it says Matati mitar artsachem. I will give rain
to your land.
To your land. Beito in its appointed season.
Anytime.
So it doesn't say geshem. Because it didn't hit the ground yet, what?
Yeah.
When Asati Mitar Artsachem, I will give the rain in your land, the Ito, and it's a. Mm-hmm. What does the season mean? Rashi says at night, or Friday night when everybody's home. That's the Ito.
Ito
at night, so it shouldn't get drenched. Everybody's home at night, or Friday night, people are home. Mm-hmm. So that's called in its time, right? Everybody's home.
That would be amazing to have
right?
A night.
Yore umalkosh. What does yore mean?
Yore
means the early rain. Umalkosh means the rain, the late rain.
Oh.
Yore. Rashi says that rain falls achazoria after the planting season. Umalkosh. Umalkosh. That's the later rains that comes near the next harvest.
Yeah.
Early rains and later rains. Safta the ganechel, you shall gather your grain. Biteroshcha. What does teroshcha mean? Your wine, bitzarecha, and your olives, olive oil. Okay.
Olive oil.
So here you have olive oil. Remember olive oil? Dagan tirosh v'yitzar. Dagan tirosh v'yitzar. Grain, the five type of grain. Tirosh means what?
Grapes.
Tirosh means wine. Grapes. The Yitzarecha means olive and olive oil. So here the Torah uses the word matar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because here it's what? It's speaking about when the rain is still in the sky, right?
Find me a store in Florida, Miami. It always rains there all the time.
Yeah.
So I was always coming to the show wet.
You're all wet. You're all wet.
And I can't. And I
can't carry the rope.
You can't carry your.
He wasn't wet.
He walked between the raindrops. Raindrops keep falling on my head. He walked between the raindrops.
So
get
I sit
it?
There and I ask him, when do you come to shul?
Yeah.
So he told me. I said, that's when I'm going to shul. I didn't get wet. I would, 2 minutes later, 3 minutes later, guys come in.
Yeah.
Wet, saying, how did you not get wet? So I walk with the rabbi.
With the rabbi. He walked between the raindrops, Joe.
It just opens up for a few minutes to get to the shul, and it's just like,
yeah, Baruch Hashem, yeah.
I told him all, I said, you got to start walking with the rabbi.
Well, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you'll never be late for shul.
Now, interesting Gemara. So here, if you look at Perik Lamed Hay,
close the door.
Perik Lamed Hay, back in Bereishis. Perik Lamed Hay. Perik Lamed Hay. You with me on this? Back in Bereishis.
Okay.
Perik Lamed Hay.
What pages?
Perik Lamed Hay. Pasuk Yud. Perik Lamed Hay. Pasuk Yud.
Paraclamide.
Yeah, 109 Pasuk Yud.
Yeah, he's the
only one. 109. Vayom Eloi Elohim. God said to him, Shimcha Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov. You call it Shimcha Od Yaakov. Your name will no longer be only Yaakov. Ki im Yisrael Yishamecha. Your name will also be what?
Israel.
Ayikwa Shema Yisrael, God called him Israel. So remember, Rashi asked before, why did God have to rename him when the angel already did it? So Rashi says, no, the angel didn't do, the angel can't do nothing on his own. The angel just announcing what God is going to do now.
Oh.
So actually, the angel didn't name him Joel Siegel. See, you can't learn Chumash without Rashi. Because why did God have to name him when he was already named? So Rashi says, no, the angel is only foretelling a prophecy, what's going to happen.
But that wasn't his mission, was it? How can you tell him that?
Well, I guess the question. Maybe it's part of the mission. Since you won your struggle, you won your struggle, we shall overcome. So you deserve a new name now. Yisrael. What does Yisrael mean? Mm-hmm. Sar-El. Prince of God. Mm-hmm. Or straight with God.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Straight with God. Prince of God. Yisrael means Prince of God, Joe.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Well, so you no longer shall your name be called what? Yaakov.
Yeah,
Zach might call you Yaakov. God said I shouldn't call your name Yaakov no more. So the Gemara debates this
you're
question.
You're still struggling.
Ooh. Hey, Brachas 13a, guys. Brachas 13a. Ooh. Why am I calling you Yaakov for? God says no longer is your name Yaakov.
My mother said call me Yaakov.
I should call you Israel. So Gemara Brachas 13, you mind putting this away? And Brachas 13, Brachas 13.
Maybe he didn't fulfill his life mission in the name of Yaakov, so he had to.
Now, why do we bow to Shmon Esrei? Why do we say Shmon Esrei?
Avraham Yitzchak VeYaakov.
Yeah, one star. Brachas 13, give that man a star. Ooh. Brachas 13, ooh. Joe, give that man a star. Thank you. Give that man a star. You hear the kasha?
Yeah.
God says no longer call him Yaakov. So what are we doing? I guess. Name change. What's in a name? I like that topic. What's in a name? Get it? What's in a name? Brachas 13a. Brachas 13a. They had a coat racket.
They got rid of it.
Brachas 13a. This is Negea to you, Rabbi Yaakov. Negea, what's in a name, David?
It's who you are.
Yeah?
The essence of who
so
you are.
Who was he? Was he Yaakov or was he Yisrael?
He was both.
He was both. Okay. Yeah. Wow. 13, you mind closing the door? Thank you very much. 13, yeah. Ooh, here we go.
Let's
see what we saw over here.
The name Abraham.
Okay.
Abraham, can you close your
eyes? 12b4. 12b4. Let's go. 12b4. 12b4. See on the right side, Rabbi Yaakov, 12b4. Joel Siegel, this class is called What's in a Name? What's it all about? What's in a name? 12b4. On the right side, it says similarly. Similarly. Keyotze bo'at omer. Our verse that we just read, God said, Lo yikar shimcha od Yaakov. Lo yikar shimcha od Yaakov, right? Lo yikar shimcha Yaakov. Lo yikar Yaakov yom od shimcha. Kim Yisrael. Lo yikar shimcha od Yaakov. Lo yakov yom od shimcha. Leiko shimcha od Yaakov. Dave, what's going on? What's in a name?
12b4.
12b4 on the right side, where it says the sages cite another instance. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Another instance where it says similarly, you say with regard to the following: Lo yikar shimcha od Yaakov. Your name shall no longer be called Yaakov. Give Yisrael yishmecha, but your name shall now be called Israel. The verse that we just read, right, Avram? You have a book? Good book, yeah. Now, what does that mean? On top of 13, Abraham 1. You have it?
Yeah.
What is 13a1 on top? Loi sheyoke Yaakov. It doesn't mean that the name Jacob will be canceled from its place entirely. No. How do we know? Look at the top Rashi. See the top Rashi which says Gemara? Top Rashi here. See top Rashi? God, after the name change, God continues to call him what? Yaakov. Right? God continues to call him Yaakov. Yaakov. Right? God continues to call him that Yaakov. So what does it mean? El Yisrael Ikar, but rather that the name Israel is now its principal name, and the name Yaakov is subsidiary to it. Look at note 1, since God himself later calls him Yaakov. It is obvious that the name Yaakov was what?
So this is not...
Not abolished.
This is not a case of with Avram.
Stay tuned. You must have ESP. Because the Gemara is going to ask that question. Ooh. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Fasten your seatbelt. The Gemara is going to ask this question. The Gemara is going to ask you a question.
It does.
So if that's the case, let's skip a little bit to 13a1 on the right side. You see? The Baraisa continues.
Yeah.
You see that? 13a1 on the right side, the Baraisa continues, providing cases similar to the one involving the name Yaakov, in which the creation of a new name does not eliminate the use of the original name, right? Avram, who Abraham? Rabbi Yaakov, your question. Abram, who's now called Abraham. His name was originally Abraham. Not Abram, but God changed it to Abraham. Because what? Betchila nasa av la'Abram. First he was only father of the nation of Aram. What is Aram? Syria. Lasaf nasa av l'chol oylam. In the end, he became father to the entire world. Look at note 10. The original name Abram means Av Aram, father of Ocean Parkway, father of Syria. Okay, he was in Syria, Iraq. He was the guiding light of his country. The name was later given Abraham is a contraction of Av Hamon. What does Abraham mean, Joe? Father of a multitude of the UN. Okay. So even at the end, however, back in the text, the original name was not removed entirely, right? Because it's just an extension of the word Abram, Abraham. Yeah. Sarai, back in the text of Yaakov. Sarai.
Yeah.
Sarai, he's Sarah.
Sarah, yeah.
Sarai is now Sarah. Mm-hmm. Meaning that what? Betchila, what does Sarai mean? My princess. Mm-hmm. What does Sarah mean? The Jewish girl, Jap, Jewish American princess. Get it? Sarai, Sarai means my princess. Sarah means the princess of the world. Betchila nasa Sarai le Masa, basof nasa Sarai le Chalal Kulot. She they became the princess of the entire world. Look at note 12, Joe. Sarai means my princess. No, Sarai means princess. Sarai. Yeah. Tanya Bar Kapora. You have it?
Uh-huh.
On the right side, the Gemara now cites a Baraisa.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. Wow. The Gemara cites a Baraisa. You with me on this? Call a Koyrel Abraham Avram. People are not careful about this. Anyone who calls Abraham by the name Avram, Oyve Ba'asei, transgresses a positive commandment.
Oh.
Did you know that?
So you don't call any Jew by his name. You call him by a nickname? You transgress it?
No, you can't say Avram, you have to say Abraham. Why is that? Let's learn it through, first of all. Call a Karel Abraham Avram over Basay. Anyone who calls Abraham, does it mean any Abraham or just Father Abraham?
Oh.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, many people say Avinu, Abraham Avinu. So.
Can you say Abraham Avinu? No. Anyone who calls Abraham, is it just a patriarch or any Jew that's called Abraham? Who calls him Abraham transgresses a positive mitzvah. Because God says, "V'hoi yishimcha Abraham, your name shall now be called Abraham." Rebbe Lezer said you also transgress a negative commandment.
Yeah.
If you call Abraham Abraham, you also transgress what?
A negative commandment.
So why is that?
What's the commandment?
Shenemar.
Yeah.
Shenemar, no? On top of A2. Shenemar, what?
For it is stated.
Leikara oida shimcha Abraham. Your name shall no longer be called Abraham. It's a negative commandment.
Okay, yeah.
Footnote 14.
Yeah, Genesis.
The Tanakam and Lezer do not disagree. Rather, they're complementary.
Could you say this with any convert?
What?
Any gear?
I don't know if this is referring just to the patriarch or to any guy named Abraham. But look at the Marsha. The amazing Marsha, David. You with me on this?
Yeah.
Footnote 14. Rabbi Yaakov, can you read the Marsha? Footnote 14. Marsha. Footnote 14.
Tanakhama?
The second paragraph. Marsha.
Marsha wonders at the fact that most halakhic authorities omit the prohibition of calling Abraham Avram.
How come it ain't brought down where? In the Shulchan Aruch.
So
the Gemara, one second. The Gemara says here it's forbidden. It's a asein alos ase. So Marsha is shocked that most halachic authorities do admit this prohibition of calling Abraham Abraham. Salach, in a lengthy discussion.
Salach, in a lengthy discussion, explains that the halacha follows the opinion of the previous Baraisa that the original name was not abolished.
The Magen Avraham does cite the prohibition. Ram, help! The Magen Avraham, a superstar posek, Joe Siegel. Magen Avraham, a superstar posek, cites the prohibition that you're not permitted to call Avraham Avram. So again, I don't know, does that refer only to the patriarch or to any Jew that's called?
We had that with Rabbi
Kessler.
Kessler.
Yeah, we had that with Rabbi Kessler.
He was Ben Avram.
That's right. And I showed him this Magen Avraham. Baruch Hashem. I showed him this Magen Avraham.
He had his ketubah changed.
Had to change the ketubah. Magen Avraham was a superstar posek. What do you think? Avram.
He said Ben Avram.
Really?
So thanks to me, he changed his ketubah, Joe Siegel.
Well, he had to bend his father's arm to admit that, yeah, his name was Avram.
Avram, thanks to me.
Because his father was always called Avram.
Who is this?
One of our friends. Magen Avraham, you don't call him Magen Avraham, the great posek.
Yeah.
Rabbi Avraham Gambina. He lived in Poland in 1649.
Yeah.
The great posek wrote the book called Magen Avraham. And he says, don't you dare call me Avraham. You transgress a positive and a negative.
Yeah.
He cites the prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
who does cite the prohibition. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, what about Yaakov? Mm-hmm. What about Sarah? Gemara asks, you with me, Rabbi Yaakov? The Gemara asks, no. The Gemara asks, Ela Meyata. You with me or not? 13a2 on top. Left column, the Gemara asks.
The Gemara asks. If so,
that what?
That the previous verse constitutes a prohibition of using the original name.
That you can no longer say Avram. You have to say Abraham.
One who calls Sarah by the name Sarai could also be considered as having transgressed the negative commandment. For the Torah states, do not call her name Sarai, for Sarah is her name.
And we don't find that. We don't find that it's forbidden. Why does the Braisa only say the prohibition, Joe, is only for Abraham?
Maybe she got a Brit.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
you got a Brit.
But God also said her name shall no longer be called
Sarai.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do not call her Sarai. So, Joe, if I call a girl Sarai, am I transgressing? No, why not? The Gemara answers, listen to this. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
There, God Himself said specifically to Abraham, what does it say? Sarai ishtacha loitikru eshema sarai kisara shema. God was only speaking to Father Abraham. As for Sarah, your wife, you should not call her name Sarai.
Do not.
For Sarah's a name. This prohibition does not apply to others.
Uh-huh.
Other people can call her name Sarai. Uh-huh. But you, Abraham, are not allowed to call her Sarai, which means my princess. Mm-hmm. You have to call her David, the princess. Mm-hmm. But other people are permitted to call her what?
Sarai. Yep.
The Gemara is not happy with that. Elamayata. Once a name was changed, Joe, to protect the innocent.
Yeah.
Joe, change a name to protect the innocent. A rabbi used to say, the Shlufsiets, Vustatin in Kaver. The Shlufsiets, Vustatin in Kaver. Used to say, Assuming plenty tzatz is Shlufin in the Kaver. Elamayata, Hakoyrele Yaakov, Yaakov Hachinami. A guy who calls Yaakov by the name Yaakov should also transgress.
Because it's heavy.
So how can I call you Yaakov Goldman? Your name shall no longer be called Yaakov. So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara answers, no. Shani Hossam, it's different. Yaakov is different. The Hoda Adayakra. Because we find even after God renames him, God continues later on, Joel Siegel, to call him what?
Yaakov.
Vayoyme Elohim LeYisrael B'marash HaLayla Vayoyme Yaakov Yaakov. God spoke to Israel in the night visions and he called him what?
Yaakov Yaakov.
So you see what?
Even Hashem kept
the name.
Yeah.
So that you cannot compare that. We never find God calling Abraham Avram. Never. So that's, you can't do, Joe Siegel. But after God renamed them Israel, he continued to call them Yaakov. So therefore God is showing us that what, David?
It's okay
to continue to call Yaakov. You got to get your two names. Look at note 17 of Yaakov. Well, she was just 17.
You can have a second name.
Yeah, okay. 17, go ahead. Since
the name Jacob was later used by Hashem himself, it is obvious that the previous
verse,
previous verse, he did not mean to prohibit the use of this name, but to make it secondary. From the time of the change onward, the name Jacob was used for matters pertaining to the physical and mundane, while the name Israel was used for matters reflecting the spiritual role of the patriarch and his descendants.
No.
For a discussion
of why the name Avram was established entirely.
Abolished
entirely. whereas the name Sarai was abolished only in regard to use by Avram himself, and the name Yaakov remained fully in use.
See the Marsha. Interesting. So people do name their girl Sarai.
Sarai, yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Because the Isser is only on Father Abraham himself, not to say Sarai no more.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Why would you want to do that? Sarah seems like it's a higher level.
Okay. But the Isser is only on Abraham. But there's no issue to call your daughter or your wife Sarai. But you cannot call your friend Avram. So therefore Rabbi Kess tried to change the ksuba. Baruch Hashem, we learned this Gemara, and therefore he changed the ksuba.
It's not forbidden to
call a guy Avraham, call him Avram. I cannot call you, I don't want to say.
Abraham. You can't use that word.
Right, you have to say Avraham.
But Sarai we can still use.
You can use Sarai, you can still use. Why is that? Because God only prohibited Abraham from calling his wife Sarai.
Okay.
God forbidded the whole world to call the name Avram, but he only prohibited Abraham from calling his wife Sarai.
That was only for one person at one time.
Right. Right.
So what's the difference between the life mission in Yaakov and Israel?
That's a great question. That's a very good question.
It looks like he accomplished.
Well, we're not finished yet.
Yeah.
Let's get to the punchline. What's it all about? 113a2. Mosiv Rabbi Yosi Bar Ovin. Ooh, why didn't I ask this kasha? Why didn't I ask this kasha? Avraham, you should have asked this kasha. Your name is Avraham. Look at the Gemara's kasha. There's a pasuk in Nehemiah, chapter 7. Atu Hashem Elokim. What's the next word, Avraham? Ooh, why didn't I ask this kasha? Rabbi Yaakov. There's a pasuk in Nehemiah. What does it say, no?
Yes.
Aaron, what's the pasuk you say before you finish Shmoy Nesrei? What pasuk do you say?
That one?
Everyone has a verse that's with their initials in it.
Oh.
What's your verse?
Yeah.
What's your verse?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? This should be your verse. That's my verse. My name is Ephraim Abraham. Aleph Mem. This is your verse. What do you mean you don't know? This is your verse.
You're supposed to finish on this forever every week. I mean, every day.
The initials of your name. Atu Hashem Elokim, Asher Becharta Ba'Avram. So what's the Gemara's kasha? How could Nehemiah, centuries later, continue to call him what? Avram.
Avram.
When God outlawed it.
Yeah.
You hear the kasha?
Yeah.
So we see Tanakh continues to use the name what?
Abraham.
You hear the Gemara's kasha? Nehemiah chapter 9 continues to call him Avram. You just told me that it's a no-no.
Yeah.
What is the Gemara answer, Rav Tzvi?
Mm-hmm.
What is the Gemara answer?
Amalei. They're the prophets arranging the praises of the merciful.
Who's the prophet? Nehemiah. Ezra.
And
there, the prophet is arranging what?
Oh, he's talking about earlier times.
He means that God chose our patriarch while his name was still Avram.
That's good.
And he changed his name to Avraham.
Yeah.
He does not refer to Avraham by that name presently. What does that mean?
Yeah, he doesn't use the name Avraham.
I don't understand what the Gemara is bothered with. The pasuk ends. It's my pasuk. It's my pasuk that we say every morning that we're David. Atu Hashem Elokim Asher Chatav Avram, but say Smur Kazdim and Samta Shmai Avraham. What's bothering the Gemara?
Actually,
the pasuk.
It says he changed it.
The pasuk that my pasuk.
It was changed. Yeah.
Nehemiah says, Ezra says, you chose Avram and you changed his name to Avraham. I don't understand why the Gemara is even bothered by it.
Because it's a looking at you're right. It's very clear.
It's very clear.
I don't get it.
I don't understand what's bothering the Gemara. Help! But anyway, so.
Maybe they didn't read the last. Well, maybe he should have said. Maybe he should never have said.
That's only the beginning of the verse. Look at the end of the verse. The verse says, "You Hashem who selected Abram," and the end of the verse says, "And you changed his name to Abraham." So, what do you want?
Selected Abram, you weren't.
You shouldn't even mention it at all. That's the Gemara's point. You shouldn't even mention it at all. Once his name is changed, you have no right to mention it at all. Even as a Havamina. Maybe that's what's bothering the Gemara. But you're quoting a pasuk in Tanakh. He's a Navi, Nehemiah and Ezra. So, what occurred in earlier times? So, look, you read Pasha's Lech Lecha. How do you read Lech Lecha? Yom HaShem al Avram. Look. Why don't you scratch it out? Joe Siegel, you have a... Liquid paper, Joe Siegel. What's it called? White out.
Before.
Don't get me nervous. See? Has to show them. Look.
Yeah.
What does it say?
Avram. Yeah.
That's before.
Yeah, that's before.
Yeah. Rashi quotes the end of the verse. Samt Shmai Avraham.
Okay, but he's saying later if you... Yeah,
I'm interesting,
if
no?
You're just talking about Abraham now.
Yeah.
Or whatever you're... If I'm going to write something about Abraham now, apparently I'm not supposed to write Abraham.
Unless you finish the sentence with Abraham.
Or unless I quote...
You have to quote the verse and finish the sentence, Abraham. Huh.
You have to somehow indicate that his name was Cain.
Exactly.
That's the message.
Mm-hmm. What's in a name? A new name, Joe, he got a new message.
New identity.
Right, new identity. That's right, a new tafkid. Right? A new identity, mission. New mission, right?
Changed his whole life.
Changed his whole life, did you? Yeah.
Be careful when you change your name.
Remember that, Dragnet, Joe? The name has been changed to protect the innocent. Remember, no?
I changed it more than that. That's
what we
do. Yeah. I changed my name.
Protect the innocent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting, yeah, bro. Yeah.
What are you looking for, Mucker?
Yeah. My cousin.
Ron?
Good one. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah. No problem.
Yeah, man.
A very interesting Mishnah here, a fundamental how to interpret Jewish law. Mm. If you look at the Mishnah on 10b2, actually it's on
10b2?
Actually 10b7. Here you have a Mishnah which is seen. Very interesting Mishnah. What's the first mitzvah a person is obligated to do in his life? Shema, no? Because when you turn 13, the night before, people think it's tefillin, but the first mitzvah you're obligated to do is what? Why? Because you become 13 the night before, no?
Yeah, that feeling you make only the next
day.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's why Rebbe begins Shas. How does Rebbe begin Shas? Name is Shai Karim Shema Ba'arvit. When is the time to read the Shema at night? Yeah. How come that's the first mitzvah Shas begins with?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
There's 612 others. Why not begin? When is it time to do Bris Milah? When is it time to shake a lulav and esrig? Why does Shas begin?
Yeah.
When is it time to read Shema at night? Because that's the first mitzvah a bar mitzvah boy has to do in his life. Mm-hmm. What's the first mitzvah?
Shema is it?
People say tefillin. It's not true.
That's the next morning.
Tefillin is the next morning. He's 13 the night before. So the first mitzvah a person has to do is Shema Ba'ar. So it's very logical that Rebbe begins what?
The Shema Yisrael.
The oral Torah. What's the first mitzvah you got to do?
What about a ger? What's the first mitzvah you do?
Same thing. The first mitzvah. Well, a ger, it depends what time of day it is.
So he
runs to put on tefillin and say the Shema. The first mitzvah ger does, he runs to put on tefillin and say the Shema. Yeah? Yeah?
So
that's the first mitzvah.
So if you did it at like 3 in the afternoon...
You still have time, as long as it's still daylight, you know. You can put on tefillin and say the Shema. Beshamei Omrim. You see that?
People do that? I've never seen that.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, I did a few. And I told the guy he has to go home and put on tefillin and say the Shema. 10b7. Beshamei Omrim. Be'erev kol odom yakta v'yikro. In the evening, the Shema of the evening, each person must first lay down, and only then should he say what?
The Shema.
Shema.
Oh.
Look at note 73. Did you know this?
No.
Don't try this at home. But Bashama's opinion is, when you're davening Ma'ariv Shema, you should take yourself what? A little beach chair. and lie down. Did you know that?
Well, but when you're davening Maariv?
According to Beis Shammai, we don't pass him like that.
When you do
this. But when you're eating Shema in the morning, Shachris, you have to what? Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand.
Yeah,
we don't pass him like that. Oh, but that's Beis Shammai's opinion. Oh. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, what does the Pasuk say?
When you lie down.
When you lie down and when you get up. This teaches that the evening Shema must be read while laying down. Oh. And the morning Shema must be what?
When you get up.
The Zillel say, take a pill and lie down. The Zillel say, no. The Zillel say, get it, take a pill and lie down. The Zillel say, no. No. Kol Adam Koyre Kedarko. Each person says the Shema any night or day, in whichever way he pleases. Whether standing, lying, sitting, or walking, Shenema. Because what does it say in the Shema?
Mm-hmm.
Even while you're walking on the road, mm-hmm. even if you're not sitting or standing, you're walking on the road, you can still say what?
And you don't have to be facing Harbai.
No. So, Im Kain Loma Nema B'Shoch B'Chof Kimecha. So if you could read Shema in any position, how come the Torah says read it when you lay down and read it when you want, get up, mm-hmm. which seems required, like Beis Shammai.
At the time, you
that yeah, well, we're not there yet. At the time, which seems to say you should read the Shema at night when you're laying down. The Misha says no. I can't. And Reb Tzvi said no. That's not pshat. It means b'shoh shmnei adam shachvim u'b'shoh shmnei adam ondim. It means according to Beis Hillel and the Halacha, it means the proper time, not the position, the time when to read the Shema. The night Shema must be done when people are going to sleep, and the morning Shema is when people get up. The verse does not discuss one's position at all. What does it discuss? Time.
Time issue, yeah.
When people lay down, mm-hmm. that's when you should read the Shema at night, and when people get up, mm-hmm. you should read the morning.
Well, I have another question for you.
Yeah, maybe I should finish the mission, maybe you won't have a question.
No, it's not. I didn't think so.
You want to wait?
Well, I don't know. You can tell me if it's going to be it. But my daughter asked me, why wouldn't you leave the tzitzit out, since it says you're supposed to see them? And I know you said it was a custom one as far as...
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good...
I didn't say that, but it's
smart, so... So, Harold, it's very related, Harold. It's very related.
Yeah,
sweet. It's very related.
I wouldn't be totally
wrong. Oh, very related. Yeah, between Ashkenazi and Sfaradi Poskim.
Right.
Ashkenazi Poskim say, read them auto, be taken literally.
Mm-hmm.
You should see them. Wear them outside. Right. The Sfaradi Poskim doesn't mean that at all. You shall see them in your head.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Sfaradim don't wear the tzitzis out.
Oh, they wear it.
Rav Avadia Yosef has to give a special heter.
Oh, yeah. To wear them out.
For Sfaradi yeshiva boys who attend a... Ashkenazi yeshiva, mm-hmm. and they don't want to feel like second-class citizens, he has to give them a special heter that they should what?
Wear them out.
Because the Sfaradi meaning is, it's not pshat and posuk. Don't falsify pshat and posuk. Just like it doesn't say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and don't leave your house on Shabbos. How do you go to shul Shabbos?
Mm-hmm.
You hear what's going on over here? How do you interpret you shall see them?
Yeah,
it. You shall see it.
So they're even strong, these things. Maybe you should keep them in because you don't want to make the...
Don't falsify shot in the pusik.
Yeah.
The pusik never meant it. More than... You look in the Gemara Menachos. You hear how stark the Rav Avadia Yosef Raya is? It says, Ritem oto. What is that? You know Hebrew better than me.
See that.
Eritem oto. You shall see him.
Oh, yeah.
Read the text.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you'll see it. Oto means him.
Oh,
well, read the text. Take a sitter. Eritem oto. You shall see him. The Gemara Menachos, Bav and Yerushalmi say, it's not talking at all about the tzitzis.
Yeah,
because
it would say them,
Otam. Eritem Otam. It says, Eritem Oto. He, let's go to the text.
Are you saying God?
You saying what?
God.
Says the Gemara Menachos, Bav and Yerushalmi, anyone who wears tzitzis in this world is guaranteed to see the boss in the afterlife.
I mean, you're obviously not seeing God with your eyes.
The Gemara Menachos. David, Shalmi and Babli. No, you don't have to wear them out. No, eat them oto. Doesn't see you shall see them. You shall see him.
What? I wish I knew him intensely.
If you wear tzitzis, you're guaranteed to see the boss in the afterlife. You hear what I said with Yaakov Goldman? You hear what I'm saying?
Are you saying Ashkenazi too?
Ashkenazi do wear them.
You are now.
They're machmir. They're machmir.
There's a Sephardic shul and an Ashkenazic shul next door to each other in Kerigmosh.
But the Sephardi Pesach say you shouldn't. You're distorting Pshat and Pesach. Rabbi Avadia has to give a special heter because the boys feel like second-class citizens.
But it's all mixed
up. Ashkenazi school, yeah?
Yeah, no, it's all mixed up. In our, the Ashkenazic shul in my neighborhood.
They keep them in.
All the old guys keep them in. All the old guys keep them in. The guys from, the young guys that are going to Machon Meir next door, they wear them out. And in the Sephardic shul, it's opposite. It's opposite.
I had great Rosh Hashivas Avraham Berkowitz. My Rosh Hashivas didn't wear the tzitzis out. My Rosh Hashivas didn't wear the tzitzis out.
Who?
No.
Where?
My Rosh Hashivas.
Not me.
Didn't wear tzitzis out. No. That's not what the pasuk means. It says you will see him.
That's true. That's
with a capital H. Read the if you read the English, you get mixed up. But the Hebrew says you will see him.
I'm afraid now if I start to wear them, people go, what's the matter? You forgot your tzitzit. They're so used to seeing me.
Now, listen to this.
Thanks, Rob.
You're welcome. Good to Kasha.
I just want to get my daughter asked.
Tell her that Menachos, Yerushalmi, and Bavli both say.
And her logic was like, why would he? Of course she should look at him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so she should wear a tzitzit then.
You'll see, guaranteed to see the boss in the afterlife. Wow. When you wear, doesn't say that by other mitzvahs, Joe Siegel.
It just said
buy one, get 613, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Omer Rabbi Tarfon, listen to this story, Joe. An Isa Bederech, on the road again.
On the road, yeah.
V'teisi likwois kidivrei b'shamay. And it came time to read the Shema for Arvit. Mm-hmm. What did I do? I dismounted and I lay down on the side of the road. Because I'm a machmir, Joe. I'm a machmir and I wanted to do like what? But I like b'shamay. Visikanti biatsni mimnei alistim. Almost got run down. Lay down by the side of the road. He almost got mugged. He almost became a hit and run victim. Yeah. As he's laying there. Ooh.
So you go to shul this time of year.
Yeah.
You say Marv, it's 5 o'clock.
You have to say it again if it's too early. If the three stars are not out, you've got to repeat
okay,
the
so even if you do, If I say the cocoa beam, it's about 5 o'clock now.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah, but that's not when people go to bed.
That's when they begin to go to bed.
That's when they go?
No, in the old days before there was, before there was electric light.
Well, that's true. It got dark.
When did people wake up?
No. When the sun
sunrise,
came.
Sunrise. When did people go to sleep?
Yeah.
Sunset, sun. There, no, we forget.
Yeah. In the world.
We forget. People went to sleep when it was sunset. What are you going to do at night? There's no electric lights.
Yeah, sure.
Yaakov Goldman, people went to sleep when three stars came out. That was the time. And people woke up at sunrise.
Probably slept a long time.
I don't understand why in Kriya Shema, you always have the Shema in the first paragraph.
I believe.
Right, that's the Shema at night is only a Chumrah. Mm-hmm. The Ika Shema is the
Shema
is
Amita.
The Shema on the bed, that's only a Chumrah.
The Amita, that's...
The Shema Amita is a Chumrah. The din is you have to read the three parshas every night during the Meirah of the davening. That's the Torah law. It's a minhag to say Shema at night when you're going to sleep, but the mitzvah in a Torah...
It's in all the Siddurim.
Right.
First paragraph.
Yeah. So anyway, the rabbi said to him... Had the muggers attacked you, you would have deserved it. That's the way to say to him. Had the muggers attacked you, Reb Tzvi, it would have been fitting for you to be mugged. I understand that. Why? He's a machmir guy. He's a chumra guy.
Yeah.
Shavarta divrei besila. For by laying down for the Shema at night, you deliberately what? Transgress the words of Basilel. Look at note 79, yeah. Whose opinion was what?
Rabbi
Yaakov, word 79.
How can you say deliberately? Maybe he didn't know it.
Whose opinion
said,
was declared
says he did.
Authoritative?
By Abasco. He says, I did like Beis Shammai. Mm-hmm. What are you picking on the guy for? He wants to be a frum guy.
No, yeah.
He wants to be a frum guy, Joe.
Not the cost of death.
Huh? The Vilna Gaon asked this kasha. We know, Avram, you could be machmir. You could be machmir. You the Vilna Gaon's kasha? Why did the rabbis chastise? Beis Shammai is machmir. You can't be machmir on yourself. The halacha is like Beis Hillel. They're mekel. A person can take chumras on himself. What do you want from the guy? Yid kasha the Vilna Gaon? So the answer is a basic of Jewish law. Avram, you hear the kasha here? Huh? The kasha? Can you repeat the kasha?
Why couldn't he be machmir?
Yeah, why couldn't he be machmir?
But he put himself in danger, too.
That's a separate issue.
Okay.
We want to know why did the rabbis rebuke him. We know that Lochas Beis Hillel, who Mekel. People wants to be Machmir like Beis Shammai, that's not a problem.
Well, did it
you want to be Machmir?
He did it in public, though, no?
Says the Vilna Gaon, it's different. You can be Machmir if you want to take a Chumrah. Here, it's not a question of being machmir. You are distorting the meaning of the pasuk.
Right.
Not a question of machmir and meiko. You are falsifying a pshat in the pasuk.
Oh, yeah.
The pasuk never meant shach b'chol lying down. It never meant that. So it's not a question of being machmir. You're learning false pshat and pasuk. Similarly to seeing them, seeing him. That's why the Sfaradim are so against wearing its tzitzis out. You see? You want to be a machmir? It's not a question of being machmir, said Rav Avadya Yosef. You are distorting a pasuk in the Torah.